Blog Talk Radio.
Nature at its best is nature at its simplest. At Red Barn, we've kept it simple for 20 years by concentrating on single-ingredient natural dog treats. Because Mother Nature's actually pretty good at this. Bones are just tasty bones. Meat treats are just nourishing meat. It's nature at its simplest. Look at the label. We want you to. Red Barn Natural Treats. Simply the best. Find it in your local pet specialty store. Try our slow-roasted, natural, meaty bones.
Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning. This is the International Mastermind Association, and we are here every morning, every Saturday morning at 8 o'clock to talk to you about the book Think and Grow Rich. We want your lives to be rich, and we are with the original version restored and revised, and the book is written by Napoleon Hill. But today I want to make sure that I introduce our host, Peg Ean, who is our Motivational Speaker Hall of Fame. She is the CEO of Team Peg Ean, Inc. I'm hoping I'm pronouncing your name correctly. I know we've talked about this. She is a TIP, received the highest government rating possible for contracts over $1 million, the author of 3 best-selling books, including Sometimes You Have to Kick Your Own Butt, which we must hear about that, and Coach to Women Who Lead in Business, Women Seeking to Build a $1 million Business, in Politics, Women Politicians Who Want to Flourish Financially and Win Their Elections, 4 corporate boards, women who want to be on corporate boards. We welcome you, welcome you, welcome you. Could you give us just an introductory tidbit, and then we're going to go to our first commercial. Good morning, Peg Ean.
Good morning, everybody. It's time to wake up and be here. I'm so excited to be with you and Anne, and just say we are so ready to rock and roll. One tip I think that is really important, actually it comes from Napoleon Hill, and it's, if you do not see great riches in your imagination, you will never, ever see them in your bank balance. If you don't see yourself as financially flourishing, amazing, or I like to say feisty, fearless, focused, and fun, how will you ever get to be that? So start by being, seeing, and believing.
Very good. Now, just to give a taste of what's to come, we're going to do the first commercial, and then we'll be right back. Thank you.
You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders, or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
And we're back. Again, can you give us some background?
About me?
Sure. Yes, absolutely.
So, a lot of people can hear me now and go, oh, she's got her stuff together. Let me tell you where I started. By the time I was 12, my dad had abandoned us. He had been a raging alcoholic. My mom had finally kicked him out. My sister was a heroin junkie and the local prostitute. By the time I was 13, I was in a gang. Not lots of confidence in myself. My mom had become a school teacher to try. She had had a rough time being with my dad and became a school teacher and was working 2 and 3 jobs just to try to keep us afloat. And, I just did not. I had this immense sense of enthusiasm and joy, and everybody would, they stopped doing that. So I became known as La Loca for my gang. And on my first assignment was to be the escorter. I would escort and find people who would want to be in the gang, or we would highly encourage to be in the gang. So that was my first sales job. But by 17, you know, I was really just had it with people making assumptions about me and thinking that I was like my sister, hanging out with the people, the girls I was hanging out with, they were called Lefty, Peanuts, Rats, that's where their names. My boyfriend was Tex, and he had tattoos before tattoos were cool. And, you know, I just learned how to survive, and I had all the violent story, you know, the molestation, all that stuff. But I just stood on the corner, and I just was thinking in my head, there has got to be more for me, that this cannot be what my life is about. At the same time that that was going on, my mom was really scared about where my path was going in. So she had also gotten me involved with Girl Scouts. So I was a gang member and a Girl Scout cadet. And I was in a special program that had that this woman who was a Wall Street muckety-muck. She didn't have daughters. She didn't have children. She was one of the few women back then. I mean, we're talking a long time ago, and in Wall Street. And she just wanted to get some tough girls. And she would take... there were 3 of us that were selected to the program, myself and 2 other girls who were also gang members from rivaling gangs. And she would take us downtown. Mrs. B smoked cigarettes, right? And her thing was, girl, I am not the typical Girl Scout leader. I'm not going to do cookies. I'm not going to do arts and crafts. I'm going to show you how to be a leader. And she would take us down by train to Wall Street and literally accost well-dressed people on the street and say, you, stop, tell these 3 girls what you did to achieve your success. And we, you know, were just mesmerized by what she was doing with us. I mean, we looked tough and we looked, you know, from the outside, if you saw us from the outside, you were intimidated by who we were. But inside, she was opening up a new world to us. And actually, it was about then when I was first introduced to Think and Grow Rich. And at 17, again, I was on the corner with Lefty and Peanuts and Tex, and I just couldn't say, my life has to be more than this. And I truly had a vision. I saw this TV, and I saw what would be perceived like an expert talking. You know, have a talking head on, as expert.
Absolutely.
And in that moment, I just said, I'm out of here. I don't know what that means. I don't know what this vision is. I just know I got to go after it. And so I said goodbye. I got to everybody. Nobody knew that I was leaving the gang. And I had in my head this message that leaving the gang was going to be, you know, they'd all chase me down. They'd try to find me, you know, and all this. I had a lot of melodrama. And so I went home, and I thought that in order for me to leave, I had to leave the country. I was living in New York City in the Bronx at that point. And it never dawned on me at 17 that I could have gone to Florida, I could have gone to Brooklyn, I could have gone, you know, to California. I thought I had to leave the country because the gang would go after me. And I ended up in Spain and quickly ran out of money. I was in Spain by the time I was 18. I was living in Spain. Had gone there with $1,000 that I have since paid back. At that moment, I had to earn money. I had to earn money, so I figured out a way to. In the end, I ended up opening 2 businesses while I was there, and I sold them both out of
my smiling so much that I can barely contain myself, because this is so interesting. that your inner self told you where you were going and you found it and you acted on it. Now tell me, you back up for just a second. Now you said mm-hmm. that you became in contact with Think and Go Rich. Now that was before you left for Spain?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't remember where I found it. I know the book was, I found two things, and this is where the power of mentoring comes in, you know. I know that Mrs. B must have mentioned stuff, but I don't remember it. I just know that I was influenced, and back then I had picked up the magazine, Success Magazine, and Thinking Real Rich, which I know that I got my first book of it when I was in the library in Parkchester. Parkchester Library was where I got my first copy of Thinking Real Rich. But it took me years and years and years and years to feel worthy of acting on what it said.
I want to go back. And the reason why I want to go back again is because we have teenagers that are involved in thinking in the International Mastermind. And mm-hmm. the interesting part about what you achieved at your age is the hearing the inner self. Was
mm-hmm.
that because of your mother, or what did you hear, and how did you develop that?
Well, I can tell you that there are a couple of really significant things that, as I've reviewed my life, were really, really important to see the potential, okay? So one was Mrs. B taking us to environments that were not in my daily life. You know, going down to Wall Street, seeing people dressed up, her talking to them. You know, the fact that she could even talk to them was pretty amazing to me that was there. The second thing that I do acknowledge my mom tremendously for is when she had the time and when she had the money, we would go down to Lincoln Center, and sometimes we'd stand in the back because those are the cheapest tickets to watch the ballet. And my mom had shared a story from the time she was little. My mom only spoke Spanish, and so she had a very thick accent when she was young and before going to school. And, of course, people were making fun of her, and she wanted something. She wanted to change herself. So she
I don't know.
To
I
go down
mom put it in one of the mandatory.
What?
No, go on. I'm sorry.
So she used to follow walk behind people who used to lead the opera when she was a teenager. So when they would say, "Darling, that was wonderful," my mom would say, "Darling, that was wonderful," to get rid of her Spanish accent.
Yes.
So when we would go to Lincoln Center, it was for her to show me that just because we were where we were didn't mean that that's who I needed to be. You know, but I was a teenager, and I was also, like, rebellious, and I was getting conflicting messages. And so for the teenagers that are listening, it's if you're being exposed, or if you're not even being exposed, if nobody's taking you out there, nobody's showing you love, I want you to go out. You go to a Mercedes-Benz dealer and touch the car and smell what that looks like. You go to the best hotel, dress in your best clothes, and go to the best hotel and just walk through the lobby. Because I got to tell you, if somebody else is doing it, you can do it. There is no reason why you can't. The only reason that will ever stop you is your own head telling you. It's not your neighborhood. It's not the people around you. It's not your mother. It's not your father. It's not the crap that's been laid on you. You get to experience what you could potentially be. So my motto became, freak it. If Donald Trump can do it, I can do it. Every time
God.
I see somebody successful, I just say it to myself. There is no reason if a chubby black woman who came from nothing can become a TV talk show host? Darn it, I can do it. Because I'm a chubby Hispanic woman. Do you get what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And so for the teenagers out there, that's what happened. I mean, I just stood there on the corner, and I really wanted, I truly knew at that moment that I had a choice. And my choices were, I could go down the path and just know. So when my mom was doing that, my mom was also doing drugs. You know, my mom was also, you know, I was always getting these conflicting messages, right? But in that corner at 17, when I was there and I was with, we were hanging out and got my foot, I'll never forget, I had a cigarette dangling out of my mouth. You know, all I kept on doing was looking, saying, really? This is what my life is going to be? Really? Am I going to die as a druggie because I got why my sister was taking drugs? Because if this is my existence, I might as well drug myself out so I don't experience it, you know?
Oh, my God. Or, interesting. I'm going to go to a commercial break, and then I want you to put a pin in that because I want you to finish that story. Ann McNeil is on the line, and she has held her hand up to say that she wants to ask a question. Let me go to the second break, and we'll be back in just a second.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com. Or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.
And we're back. I'd like for our guest to be able to finish this part of the story, and then Ann McNeil is on the line and would like to make a comment.
So what I was saying was, you know, my sister chose to use drugs to deal with the pain of this is my life and not being able to see that there's another way. I think this is, you know, I chose to know that I had choice. I can do that, I could hide, I can cover myself with drugs and accept life as it was, as I was perceiving it was, or I could find a different way. And the book, Think and Grow Rich, success, going and smelling and seeing different ways that other worlds were living, worlds different than mine, impacted me drastically to be able to say, I can. I'll figure it out. I don't know how, but I'm going after it. This is what I want for me. And I can tell you that that one decision, that one determination, that one desire, that one power is the one that made me take an action. Because I could have said, I want that, but not take an action. Unless you take action, nothing happens.
Right. I want that, but only if someone gives it to me. Absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you so much. Ann, are you on?
Yes, good morning. Good morning. Good morning to all of our listeners. This is Ann McNeil, the Master Builder, building stronger and better lives. And I just wanted to come on and say to Pekin, thank you, Pekin, for coming on and blessing us with your story this morning and the impact that the book Think and Grow Rich, especially the first chapter on desire and the impact that it has had on your life, not just your life, but so many, many other lives. And what I'd like to do is ask you if you would share how we met, because we are very involved as a result of our meeting in your city of Jacksonville with this book, Think and Grow Rich, and changing the lives of many people. And a number of people are on the radio listening in to you this morning from Jacksonville. And so I just wanted to have you just share a moment about that, and then we'll come back, Sharon, to the other portions of the interview. But this is just so exciting, and there's so many areas of our lives that are impacted by her testimony. Thank you again, both of you.
No problem. Well, you know, talking about how Ann and I met, and to tie it into Think and Grow Rich, people appear in your life in the exact right moment when you know what you want and where you want to go. So I had made a determination back in 2007 that I wanted to grow my business big. I had reached a level of saying, you know, success and fame and all that stuff, you know, that's not that I'm worth more. And so I made a concrete decision about that, which enabled me to get involved with the Jacksonville Women's Business Center, which enabled me to take a lot of courses. And one of the things that I was sent to was a program called Go to Green, a women's leadership, very small boutique conference for women who were ambitious to have a million, multi-million dollar businesses. And one of the speakers was Anne, who was carrying her little toolbox. Remember that, Anne? She had her toolbox, she carries this red toolbox, and inside it are all the books and things that have impacted her life, one of which is Think and Grow Rich. Anne and I spoke and connected, and then we found out that we were part of another association called the National Speakers Association, and here we were connecting. I had started an organization in Jacksonville called the Business Women of Color Professional Business Organization, Business Women of Color Business and Professional Women, and I was creating summits so that women in North Florida who were women of color and looking at Black, Hispanic, Asian, and Filipino women who traditionally are not reached out to come and be participants and say that you too are million and multi-million women. And I brought Ann in. I invited Ann, begged Ann, pleaded with to come and speak to our first launch, which inspired so many women to be able to think big, think about who they can be, think about the power of them. And I got to tell you, not only from Think and Grow Rich, I listened to one of your previous shows, and they mentioned a book called Think and Grow Rich, A Black Choice, which is by Dennis Kimbrough. And that was another book that inspired me early on, and actually that I've purchased tons of them and just given out to people, because I think that we all, it doesn't matter who we are, it doesn't matter where we come, this is an international forum, so it doesn't matter what country you're in, it doesn't matter what governments you're under, it doesn't matter how poor you are, or even how wealthy you are, or even how successful you are, that the blessing is always knowing that there's more for you. There is more to grow, there's more to inspire, there's more talents, there's more depth to who you are than you've ever imagined, and your job is to constantly see bigger, be bigger, grow more. And I think that that's why Think and Grow, which is so critical. I love the line, if I can share with you something about Think and Grow Rich. There's a line that says that the accumulation of money cannot be left to chance, good fortune, and luck. One must realize that all who have accumulated great fortunes first did a certain amount of dreaming, hoping, wishing, desiring, and planning before they acquired money. And if I can just say a statement about money, is that all right with you?
Absolutely.
So money is good. Money is a blessing. Money is a prosperous consciousness that is a blessing. If you have been raised in a religious environment that has communicating that poverty is good, then they're not reading the truth. The truth is there's always abundance. And if you come, there is always abundance and has always been abundance. And if you're one of those people that reading the Bible, any other religious doctrine, I want you to really make sure that you're around influencers, whether they be pastors, rabbis, or influencers that see the truth, which is that we were gifted with our own magnificence and blessed with such abundance and ability to achieve prosperity, because that is our God-giving gift. If an ant can have abundance, so can you. If a butterfly can have as much as it needs, so can you. And I think that it's really important that we understand that give us our daily bread, that concept. It's not that you're getting a slice of bread. I don't know anybody. I don't care what country you're from. I don't care where you're from. When you go to somebody's house, if all you can offer bread, you will offer an abundance of bread. You will always provide way more than anybody can eat because you understand that you will always be provided for. Well, let me tell you, that is the truth in every aspect of your life. And once you get that, and once you understand that this is your divine gift, then you understand that money is not to be coveted, like that's the end-all, be-all. It's what you do with it that transforms the world. It's how you support your local organizations, how you support the churches, how you support your family, how you support your own ability to be wearing the most beautiful robes that you can. The beautiful fabrics, because it is your divine destiny to have that. If you choose it, if you choose to seek poverty, if you choose to think that you're not worthy, if you choose to live in that way, then you have exactly what you wanted, because that's how all of this works. You get what you're willing to accept. And that's why you have to think and grow rich.
Absolutely. On page 29 of chapter 1 regarding desire, this is a follow-up to something that you just read, and it talks about only those who become money conscious. And it's not, and you can translate that into something that you just said, it's not just money conscious, it's success conscious. Success about every area of your life, okay? They just said money conscious, but it actually success conscious. Ever accumulate great riches. Money consciousness means that the mind has become so thoroughly saturated with the desire for money or desire for success that it can see oneself already in possession of it. So a lot of what you said is that we visualize. You go to places that you want to be. You go to the boardrooms. You go to museums. You go to the opera. You go to places where you see what you want, and you start visualizing it.
Oh,
and that is not
only
for youth, but that's for adults, just as you said.
Oh, it's for everybody. I mean, I'll give you an example. I used to imagine that, oh, God, man, I wanted a Jaguar. Oh, yeah. And, but I'd never been around one. I had never seen one. I had never really, you know, but I looked at the commercials. That sounded all good. Until I went to the Jaguar dealership. Not that I was going to buy, I just want to experience it. Because how do we know, you know, sometimes we're influenced about what we want by watching TV or things like that, but you have not defined truly, is that fit your needs? Let me tell you, I sat in that car, I hated it. The last thing I want to have is that car. It doesn't fit my body, it doesn't feel good, and I think that it's... But, so now, you know, I go to other cars to look at and feel, does it feel right to me? Is this good for my life? One of the things you talked about success is I truly wanted to be a great mom. It was really, for me, important that my kids grew up with trust, that they grew up being cared for, that they grew up with a sense of security. It was important to me. And notice what I just said. I said trust. I said security, that they knew that they were loved. I was very specific, and I wrote a plan. Just like we talked about on 28, this is about money. It says fix your mind on the exact amount of money you desire. For me, it was I had to fix my mind on the exact kind of mom I wanted to be. Exactly. who I want. I wrote words to define specifically the words that I would want people to use about me as a mom.
Absolutely.
And I wrote them down. I was very definite in what I was going to do. I knew that I, and Ann, you'll relate to this, I never wanted to be on a grand stage at a major convention and talk about being a mom and having truth be said that my kids weren't, would not agree with that statement that I was a good mom. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. We have a caller that wants to ask you a question and chime in on part of what you've just said. I'm going to open the mic. I believe it's Stephanie Ebanks. Good morning, Stephanie. Are you there?
Oh, yes, good morning, Sharon. Good morning, Peggy, and I'm hoping I'm saying that right. I was just listening to the show, and I wanted to chime in. It's not so much a statement. It's also kind of a statement and a question at the same time. Because you talked about getting out of the gang and moving on. And the point is that for you, it's about your change in your mindset about realizing that there was something more for you out there and it had to be something better. And you talked about there was two other young ladies. And one of the things that we try to teach our young folks is that, you know, it's all about not only thinking about where you want to go, it's taking action, and you took action. You could have thought that you wanted something different, but if you didn't take any action, you would not have gotten a different result. Your results would have stayed the same. So
right. The
other two young ladies with you, do you have any idea what happened to them in terms of how you saw something, you took action? Did they think anything different? Did they take any different action, or did they
totally stay
in the same circumstance?
Yeah, no, thank you for asking about that because it's really exciting. So Mrs. B took the three of us under her wing and really showed us a different way. So the results are Denise now is in Hawaii. She owns 5 nursery schools. They're very large daycare centers. She is one of the highly regarded experts there on early childhood. And she has a wonderful family, 2 children, very, very community-oriented. And we saw each other, I guess the last time I saw her has to be at least 15 years ago, and that's when I know about somehow we connected and we met. So my husband and her husband and her kids, we all met in New York when she came, I guess, to visit her mom. And that's how I know what she said. Through her, I found out that Barbara, the other girl, became a lawyer. I don't know anything else about that. I don't remember Barbara's last name, but so I can tell you that the investment that Mrs. B placed in us gave us the vision, the experience of knowing that we can. I actually wrote the book called For All Our Daughters, How Mentoring Helps Young Women and Girls Master the Art of Growing Up. I'm a very, very big believer that mentors for especially high-risk youth make a huge difference. And I will tell you that I've worked with gang members and high-risk girls in New York. I had worked before I became a speaker a long time, and we actually did page 28, and we actually used to practice being on TV talk shows and sharing about success and transformation of how they changed their lives and practice, and they would hate me. No, why are we doing that? Why are we doing that? I say, because one day somebody's going to call you up. So one day we're going to get a call to be on TV, and you're going to be prepared to talk about how you changed your life. And it happened. Montel Williams called, and my girls were on Montel Williams. Picked up by limousines, and I will tell you, those girls, one became an editor of the American Medical Association magazine. Now she owns several homes and apartment buildings in the Virginia area. Another one became a senior vice president, where she is now of in Lucent Technologies. And I don't know where the other girls are right now. But when you think it, you become it.
That's correct, and I want to thank you for that positive and motivational issue, because I hope there are young people listening on the call who realize that their lives can be changed and impact. Your circumstance does not define who you are.
Can change, and based on what the gene is telling you and what the book Thinking Gurwitch is telling you, it just requires a little bit of action. And thank you for your mentoring of those young people, and I'm sure they are appreciative. And one of the things we need to do as successful women is to pass it on. If you are able to change your life and somebody else has helped you get a leg up, then passing that on is something that we need to do, and I want to thank you for that very much.
Oh, you're so welcome. You know, I think that you said something just now very, very important, and that was it's little actions. That is so important, what you just said, for everybody listening. You know, people will look at my background and what I've achieved and what I've succeeded on and think that it all happened all at once. It was very itty-bitty actions that accumulated over time to create the success and to have the achievements. Every single moment of my life was always a decision. Do I sit home or do I make a phone call? Do I sit home or do I knock on doors? I mean, I was just saying, really, I could have easily said, I'm coming home. I could have easily just been a beggar on the street. I really could have. It was just so, I could have easily thought that. But I wanted to, here's the biggest action, is I wanted to believe what it said and think it's more rich. I want to believe that I could. And even now is sometimes some of the dreams that I have, I hold on, and it's like this very little light spider web thread. but I hold on to it with all of my might. And
talk about questions, Bikin. Excuse me, Bikin. Can you share with us how did you end up in Jacksonville, Florida?
I had been living. We moved down here in 2000. I was in New York. My husband, my kids, and I were all in New York. My mom had just moved to Boca Raton, Florida. You know, she had retired and she was down there. Hated it down there. My brother got married very late in life and was living in San Francisco. And he got married and they found out that they were going to have twins. And he was a late dad. they were afraid to raise the kids alone because they were both older. And they decided to find a community on the East Coast towards the South near a major airport that was near water. That was their criteria. So they flew into Atlanta, rented an RV, drove down A1A, got lost, and landed in a place called Ponte Vedra. And they found the state park called Guano, and they just fell in love. They thought that was the whole community, this amazing, like, beautiful state park area right on the ocean. They called my mom and said, Mom, we found this place. It's called Ponte Vedra. It's right out of Jacksonville. It's right near Jacksonville. And my father said, my stepdad said, wait a minute, isn't that where all the golf people are? And they got in the car the next day and they found a house to live here. And they moved in. My brother's had decided that he was going to move here. We were in New York. My mom started sending me, like all mothers do, they start sending you, look at this house. And New York had a terrible, horrible ice storm. And my husband and I were outside with parkas cutting up ice. And I looked at him, and he looked at me, and we went, why are we here? And we made a decision at that moment that we were going to move to Florida to be near family. And within, it should have taken a year to do, and within 3 weeks it all happened. We sold the house. He sold his practice. We packed up the car. We found a house that we love, and we moved down in March 2000. So there's 19 of us that moved down here to Jacksonville. My brother, my mom, my aunt, my best friend, my brother-in-law's kids, four of them, my children, so we're all here. And now we tell everybody we don't come. It's a terrible place to come because we don't want any more of our family to join us. That's a joke.
That's wonderful. Yeah.
So that's how we ended up in Jacksonville. And I love Jacksonville. Love being here.
Any more comments, Ann?
Any other questions?
Actually, you know what? That was very good. Thank you. I really, really enjoyed that. And you know what? The thing is, you made a choice. And what's interesting, and this is something Ann says all the time, related to your move. You made a choice. And as soon as you made the choice, the universe opened up the way for you to do that. It's kind of like the way you made a choice, your incremental choices, and the universe just opened up the way, the path for you to get it done. When you made a choice to get out of the gang, or when you made a choice to open up your business, when you made a choice to move, it's interesting that how the path was made clear.
Yeah, it's, you know, if anybody's reading there that has the book, Think and Grow Rich, you know, it's really knowing that, you know, they have this old poem about, you know, my wage, that I bargained with life for a penny.
Absolutely.
And life would pay no more. You know, this whole poem, what has
Esther
been
Marcy.
Very interesting. Say that again?
Yes, you're exactly right. It's on Desire, on page 35 of Desire.
It's on page 35, and when I used to read this, sometimes I would get really ticked. I got to tell you, I do have to share this. I used to get really angry at this Think and Grow Rich. I mean, like, angry as I would read it. Angry because it just would press such buttons on me, to me, such intense buttons saying, you know, they don't know what they're talking about. That's only for that kind of group. This is not how it is for me. Oh, my gosh. You have no idea how angry I get. And this one poem about my wage, you know, for life is just an employer. He gives you what you ask. But once you have set the wages, why, you must bear the task. I worked a menial hire only to learn dismayed that any wage I had asked of life would have willingly paid. I would get really angry about that because I would say, come on, you know, I'm doing it. Why aren't I earning what I want? And I never really clearly asked what I wanted. I never said what I wanted. I said, I want a lot of money. I said I wanted a lot of this, but I never was clear about what I truly, truly wanted. And
can
I am
ask
very...
you to hold on that comment? I'm going to go to the next commercial, and then I would like for you to expand on that. This is such an interesting point. I will be back in just a second.
You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders, or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
And we're back. You were making an interesting point about being very clear about what it is that you want. Can you expand about
that? Very clear of the number of what you want. So here's what happens. If people will say, let's take for instance, they'll say, I want success. But they don't define what that means. And they say, I want to earn a lot of money. But they don't define what that means. So let me give you an example. I know someone, a woman, who said that she wanted to be able to earn, as a salary, $400,000 a year. She made a determination that that's what she wanted to do, was to make $400,000 a year. And she did some research, and she was a college student. And she found out that if she were a pharmacist, she can make $400,000 a year, and she can get full-paid scholarships because there's a desperate need for pharmacists. There are not enough graduating. And she can get in a pre-pharmacology program that would prepare her. And so she made an absolute decision that she wanted to be paid for her career $400,000, and she added in her decision, I want to graduate without debt. But every action she took, she didn't know what area she was going to go to, nothing. She just did the research and found pharmacology. She was able to graduate school, graduate with a pharmacology degree, graduate and get paid $400,000 a year, which is now she just opened her own company, and she just hit $2 million this year. So it's a decision what all your actions fall into place when you decide what you want to earn. I know another young woman, I get very bothered about the statistics about women not making enough money, 87 cents to a dollar, and everybody acts like it's the system that's doing it. No, it's not. It's that women decided that they're not going to ask for more. They're going to accept what anybody gives them. So they go to a job interview. They have the interview. The job person says, we're going to pay you $25,000, $30,000, whatever it is. And women will say yes. But they don't realize that there are other groups of people that go in and they say, what do you want to earn? And they say, I want to earn $50,000. Well, we can't pay you $50,000. We can pay you $40,000. We can pay you $40,000 for the same job that woman just accepted for $25,000.
Exactly.
It is not the organization's fault, because good businesses, if that's what you're willing to work for, that's what I'm going to give you. I save money as a business, or I'm supposed to coach you? That's your choice. You chose to value yourself that way. And, I was just on another radio show, and women were really upset that I said that. And I said to them all, did you ask for more? What are you valuing yourself for? What are you asking of yourself?
Exactly. Exactly. I have to admit, this is a story on myself. I accepted a job, and it was being a director. And I realized later on that I came on about the same time as another gentleman that was head of personnel. But he had negotiated a better package. And I sat down and looked at his package after I was there, and I said, oh, my gosh, I cannot believe that I shorted myself this much. If you only do what you know. So it's not that you just ask for more. You have to go ahead, do the research, know exactly what the packages are that they can give you, and then say, this is what I'm going to come in. I didn't. And
but
there's a problem.
Sharon.
Yes.
Sharon Jackson. Am I live? This is Anne,
yep.
McNeil.
Absolutely.
I just want to come back to the desire chapter and just
reiterate that everything that Bakeen is saying is right out of the book on the six steps. The example that she just gave about the pharmacy and the women is in the six steps. And we really going to have you come back and do a part two to this show, because it is so empowering to understand that we can have anything in life that we want if we do the work on ourselves, in ourselves, in answering those questions. How much money do you want? $400,000. What are you going to give in return for the money? I'm going to do the research and find out that I want to be a pharmacist, because if I become a pharmacist, I can make that amount of money. By when do you want to do that? Oh, well, it may take me this long to do this and this and this. Okay, what is your specific plan of action that you're going to do in order to become that? So I just wanted to just kind of come back to that, to the desire chapter, and this is just awesome. Thank you so much. I'm going to go back on mute because obviously I'm at the Florida Speakers Association meeting for Keene, so y'all bear with me. Thank you, Sharon Jackson. And also want to welcome again our Jacksonville crew that's on the line. I guess they don't have any questions this morning for Keene, who is also from Jacksonville. Thank you very much.
And all those persons from Jackson, I see you on the call, but no one has raised their hand. So obviously, if you would like to make a comment, if you would like to ask a question, just push one, and we will open your line and you can communicate. Thank you for Anne. I think it is important to make a comment. Is that everything that we have talked about so far has been in desire, in Think and Grow Rich, and it is very good that Anne did a course correction. But also thank you, Pete, our host, your guest, because you have been exactly spot on. Everything that you said has been in Think and Grow Rich.
What you shared earlier, you know, about your story, I have a similar story in that I had been director of a program. And while I had read Think and Grow Rich, I also had, and this is why this book is so critical, this is why it's so important, is that so often we have other outside forces that influence how we think about things. And so it's why you have to be specific about the money. Because, let me give you an example. On 26, page 26, right, it says in the middle, they talk about a guy that wanted to work with Edison. And he said he was a partner of Edison every minute of the time. So what, he was a tramp. He knew what he wanted. He wanted to work with Edison. He wanted to be with Edison. This was his definite desire. I knew that I wanted to be in leadership. I knew that I wanted to be in this, and I was in this as a director of this organization. What I wasn't specific about was how much I wanted to earn, because I had been influenced that people in this industry could not earn a certain amount of money. And it was in social work. So I had been convinced that in social work, you would never make a lot of money, even though I had fought that idea. So I never listed how much I wanted to make as a director of this organization. It wasn't until another woman came into my life and she became the CEO of the foundation. She, too, had read Think and Grow Rich. She came to me one day and she said, you have been doing so much work, but you're not getting paid what you're worth.
Oh, my God.
And
yeah.
Why haven't you ever asked that? And I was like, well, I thought this, you know, and I fell right back into some old behaviors. Well, I thought that's all I could get.
Right.
She doubled my salary right then and there.
Wow. Let me put a pin in this. We have 6 minutes left, and we have two callers that raise their hand.
Go ahead, raise your hand.
Is this Stephanie Banks?
Yes. Hi, good morning. I want to be quick and brief because I know you have other callers. But, Perrine, you made a very good comment, and because I have a lot of young people in my life who are getting ready to graduate either from college or graduate from high school and go on to a career, and the fact is most of them do not know how to set themselves up for success.
They have gone through, worked for this degree, and now they're going to, like you said, accept whatever a corporation may offer. Or those who are getting ready to go off to college do not know how to focus on what they want and how to get out of college without that debt and how to make that salary. So I just want to thank you for that and point that out. If they are not on the call listening, definitely we're going to have them listen to this show and refocus on how to get what you want when you graduate from not only college but from high school and going forward in life. Thank you so much for that point.
Thank you.
I'm going to open the mic for a caller with the last four numbers, 1700. Caller, your
good
mic.
Good morning. Good morning. This is Rose Rudin, a native from Jacksonville, Florida, and I welcome you to Jacksonville. And I just want to say it has definitely been inspiring, and I can contest to what you're saying. I, too, in employment, did not get a promotion because I was waiting, allowing them to do it the way that they said. And when I did ask, well, how come someone that I trained ended up moving before me, they actually said, because you didn't ask. And I thought my work should have showed for itself. So you're right. You have not because you asked not. But I would also like to say if you would share with us maybe offline your phone number in Jacksonville because we're going to start a mastermind talk on Thursday evenings at 6:30, and I would love to have you as a part of that. And you have just really been inspiring to us this morning, and thank you for your interview.
Thank you so much. Well, actually, let me give you some for everybody. You can go to a website called Kiwi, KIWILIVE.com, KiwiLive.com, and you can write my Kiwi, it's called, and that's PEGINE.com. Just PEGINE. So I want you to go to Kiwi Live, KIWILIVE.com, where it says what's the Kiwi? You put my name, PEGINE. When you do that, you will get an automatic reply of documents from me. You'll get my song that keeps me happy. You'll get my plan of my action plan. You'll get an article that I wrote about networking. You'll get my other book that I love to read, which is The Science of Getting Rich. All of that will come to you for free, as well as all of my contact information, my YouTube site, everything, my contact information, my phone. So just go to Kiwi Live, KIWILIVE.com, and put in my Kiwi, PEGINE, and you'll get all that information. You'll find the information on how to contact me.
Thank you.
You are so welcome.
We have 2 minutes to wrap up, and this is interesting, and I'm hoping that we will have a part two, because one of the things that we do, too, naturally, we always use Think and Grow Rich as our foundational book, but we also have other books that we pair up. Like we're reading Prosperity by Charles Fillmore, and we're reading Repackaging Your Bags, because one of the things that we know is as we get older, things change, and we have to repack our bags to change as we mature. So I just am interested because I have already written down your book, Science of Getting Rich, and I will put that on my list, on my reading list.
Yeah, and when you go to Kiwi Live, you get it for free. It's not my book. It's by Walter Waddell, an old book, and I study it. I study it every day along with Think and Grow Rich. And let me tell you something. Everybody that's listening on this, it doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are. It doesn't matter where you come from, what your background is. It doesn't matter your geographic location. It doesn't matter your gender. It doesn't matter whether your disability or your abilities. What matters is what you think. It matters how you take that thought and act by writing a plan and then work it. It doesn't matter if it's not perfect. Thank goodness it doesn't have to be perfect, because I am the furthest person from perfection that you can ever imagine. What matters is that your willingness to act, take action, think, and you will grow rich. Think. You will go rich when you decide how rich you want to be. By the way, it's really easy to, not easy to be, just remember that if you look around you, most people just don't think, or they're just thinking the wrong thing. Take action and read the book. Think and grow rich. It makes a difference.
Absolutely.
And I love Anne. I love you, Anne. I love you. I love you. I love you.
Oh, well, Anne is on mute.
Yes, Anne is on mute. Thank you, Sharon. Anne is on mute. And Sharon, if you can close us out with a commercial. And again, we are looking forward to having you back, and to all of our listeners all over the world. Think and grow rich. Thank you, Sharon.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com, or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-302002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-302002.
Hey, Gina, are you still on?